So this morning is definitely going to be for the believer in the room. If you don't know who Christ is, I challenge you to investigate the truth and the reality of Christ and the reality of what he can do in the life of an individual who surrenders themselves onto him. But we're going to talk about some things for us as believers in here that I think Paul wants us to keep in mind. And so we're not in Ecclesiastes. That's all for Cliff when he gets back. But we're going to have fun this morning. Amen. Y'all ready? Let's pray. Lord, your word says in Psalm 139, Lord God, that, oh Lord, you search me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? Lord, you are our God. And Lord, you are intimately aware of every place we go, of everything we do, of the times that we fail and the times that we succeed and have victory. Lord, every victory belongs to you, God. It is by your grace and your grace alone that we stand in faith at all. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have failed you, but help us to pursue you with every fiber of our being. Lord, you are worthy, for we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen. So endurance is a funny thing, right? We can endure a lot of things. Some of you in this room have endured some immense pain, some immense trials, some immense suffering. Like each one of us in this room have gone through things. Some of us have chosen not to endure things because it was painful, or it was hard, or it was not worth our time, or we decided it wasn't worth the struggle or the effort, you know what I mean? And if you've worked out for any time in your life, right, there comes a point where you're like, I'm just done doing this, you know what I mean? Like, I'm done with the struggle, I'm done with the strife, I'm done with all those things, and or you get hurt, and you're like, I can't even endure now because I'm just hurt, so I can't even keep working out. And I was helping my mom's boyfriend the other day in the garden, and he was holding up this really heavy bucket thing, and he was waiting for me to shovel sand underneath it, and I was going as fast as I could, and his legs were shaking, you know, because he was holding it up, and he didn't want it to fall down. And I was so grateful for his endurance, because had he not done that, I could have been hurt, right? Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says to Timothy, if you remember, Timothy is like he's a preacher, young preacher, probably like in his 20s, and Paul is getting ready to die, and he says to Timothy, I am getting ready to be poured out like a drink offering. Now, to you and I, that doesn't mean a lot in this room, but what it was the priests in the temple would, when they made the sacrifice, there was this thing called the drink offering. What they would do is they would pour wine at the front of the altar as a it was called a drink offering unto the Lord. It was like, even our wine, everything belongs to you. And so Paul was saying, I'm getting ready myself to be poured out as a drink offering unto the Lord. My life has been asked of me. And this is what he says. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so we're talking about the idea of the endurance of the believer. Like, you are called as a believer to endure in your faith, right? To not give up, to continue the race, to keep on fighting. So I have fought the good fight. Paul says, I've fought the good fight. What does that mean? He's saying, I've fought the good fight against the battle of the flesh and the spirit, right? Any of you know that battle, right? You ever battle and you're like, you have temptation on one side and you have what God wants you to do on the other, and you're going, no, I know I need to do what he's called me to do, and I don't need to do what I want to do. I don't need to give into my flesh and do the things that my flesh wants to do. You know what I'm talking about? Everyone in this room, if you're a Christian, should know that struggle. Amen? Right? Because that struggle's real. It comes every day. It comes every moment. It doesn't ask you if you want it. It doesn't say, hey, do you want to be tempted today? No, temptation comes at you in every second and every day, right? The struggle is every moment. And we can either decide to go, am I going to go with God, or am I going to go with my flesh? Amen. And Paul is saying, I've fought the good fight. I've continued on in the midst of severe persecution, severe trials, severe testing. Remember, Paul said, I've learned to be content. He said, I've learned it. What does that mean? He had to be what? Taught. See, we go through things, and we're so finicky. You know what I mean? You and I, we love to complain. Like, we are complainers, man. Everyone in this room loves to complain. Now, you might not, you know, you have your people you complain to, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like you're complaining to everybody, but you have your friends, you know what I'm saying? Your close people. And you go, you call them up and you go, you wouldn't believe what just happened. Like, you know what I mean? And you complain, right? Every one of us in this room are complainers. You know, I complain, you complain, we all complain. And we complain the most about things that are happening in our life that we don't like. And God is going, do you not understand that this is your training ground? If you guys remember, the Bible, way back in the day, there was an acronym for the Bible, and it was called Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Remember that? Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I love that. Because I think it's true. But Paul said, I've learned to be content. What does that mean? It means that there were times where Paul wasn't content in the moment. He had to learn it. Right? Shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, naked. Like, he's like, I spent an open day in the sea. Like, I know the joys of having plenty, and I know the pain of being hungry. Like, I know both of those. I'm intimately involved with both of these. God is teaching us contentment. That's part of the battle. It's part of the fight, is being content in the moments that we don't get it. Does it make sense? The battle against the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So there is a real enemy that you and I have as Christians. There's a real enemy we have as Christians. Amen? And you listen, there's only two choices. God's way or yours? That's it. But just understand, your way, your fleshly desires, your wicked nature, that's all Satan. There's no other, I know we don't want to think that way. I know we want to think like there's no C option. You know what I mean? It's either you're with the Lord or you're not. Right? It's either I'm choosing to walk with God or I'm choosing to walk in my own flesh. But there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. That doesn't mean you can't be lukewarm. But part of being lukewarm is the fact that you're wavering between following Jesus or following the world. And Jesus is like, look, I want you either hot, on fire for me. Okay. That passage has been preached wrongly for a very long time. Now, I know, like, who am I to say that, right? But so you had two springs, a hot spring and a cold spring. Jesus was not saying, I wish you were on fire for me or not didn't know me at all. That's not what he's saying. You've heard that preached forever. That's not what that means. He's saying, I wish you were there hot because it was medicinal. The spring for the hot spring was something that healed ailment. The cold spring was refreshing and people grabbed from both. But lukewarm, nobody wants to drink lukewarm water. Unless you're me, because I like room temperature water. Anybody else in here like room temperature water? But Jesus is like, I wish you were either hot or cold, because both are useful. But you're lukewarm. You don't know what you want to be. And so I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Paul saying, I lived my life on fire for God and refreshing to those around me. Does that make sense? So I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. He says, I finished the course. And this is the work in which God has called us to do. Are you running the race? Listen, God has called you to do something that he's not called anyone else to do. The question is, are you going to do it? Amen? Because listen, I love this question. I get asked this question all the time, especially when I was a youth pastor. Students would always come at me and they go, I just want God to reveal his will to me. And I'm like, there's two reasons why you want to know that. The first reason is you want to know it to decide whether or not you want to do it. Then that's usually what they want to know, right? Like, and we're the same way. We're like, God, I want to know what your plan is for me. I want to know what you want to do with me. I want to know what your will is. I want to know, you know, but you want to know that because you want to decide whether or not you want to be on board. And God in his wisdom goes, look, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you what my plan is for you. I'm just going to have you walk in it. Because I want you obedient in every step. And the more steps you take in obedience, the easier it becomes. Amen? Paul said, I've finished the course. There was this course that God had laid out for me. I ran it, and I've completed it. Hebrews 12. 1 and 2. Do we have that up there? Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. So who's the cloud of witnesses? Okay, us. Who else? God and the saints. Like, do you realize, like, there are angels and saints and just, like, there is so much happening in the heavenly realm that you and I can't even comprehend or fathom. Like, when you go before God, there is we have a cloud of witnesses in the heavens who are watching our race of faith, who are cheering us on, I believe the saints pray for us. I believe that angels, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. I believe there's so much going on in the heavens that we can't even comprehend or understand, right? He says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run this race with endurance. When you run a race, you run it to win. No one runs in a race going, I hope I lose. Now, you might run a race thinking, knowing you might lose, you know, especially if you're a marathon runner, which, gag me. But anyways, like, who wants to run 25 miles? Anyways, but like, not me, but like, or 3 miles or anything like that. Like, that's not my game. But like, you know, but people run those to like be like, I just want to beat my best time. But like, no one enters a race or like enters a game thinking, you know what, I just want to lose the worst way possible. Nobody does that, right? We all enter a game or we all run a race to win, right? I'm a competitor. I love to compete. I love to win. I love to win. I love to win, right? I wrestle with losing. because I don't like losing so much, right? But I love to win. And so everything I do, I play to win the game, right? If it's Uno, if it's, I don't care what it is. I could be like, who can kick this piece of paper across the room farthest? I want to be the best. Like, that's just who I am. I want to be the best. We run the race to win. 1 Corinthians, or is it 1 Corinthians? Shoot. Or is it 1 Corinthians 9? Do you have that one? Sorry. They're going to bring it up here in a second. I'll wait for them to do that. Anyways, Paul basically said, do you not know thank you, Lord. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Are you running in such a way in your faith to win? Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run. So Paul is saying, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. He's going, I know my goal. I know where I'm going. My eyes are fixed, right? I know whose I am. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but no, I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Listen, Paul is saying, I am doing this in such a way, and I'm preaching to you about how you need to endure, but I'm doing that because I myself could be disqualified. Listen, if Paul thinks he could be disqualified, what does that say about you and me? Hello? Right? Like, we look at Paul and we're like, homeboy ran it. You know what I mean? Ran it well. I look at myself, I'm like, dang, nowhere near Paul. You know what I mean? He's like, I've run in such a way as to win the prize. So that I myself will not be disqualified. I've beat my body into submission to the things of Christ. What does that mean? It means I struggle so much within my sinful flesh and in the Spirit of God. I've wrestled so hard within that, and I've kept myself from doing the things that my sinful flesh wants to do in order that I might glorify God in my body. Because you're either controlled by the Spirit or you're controlled by this. And you can choose. I think, you know, we've been sold a bill of goods thinking that we can't choose to follow God. You can choose to follow Jesus. Amen? So when you don't choose to follow Jesus, it's on you. It's on me. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. Paul's like, I've run it, man. I've run it. I've endured through everything. This is the fixing of our eyes on Jesus and enduring in the grace of God. Listen, God loves you. He wants you to finish the race. Amen. God is not putting obstacles in your way going, let's see how he deals with this one. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like we tend to think like God puts things in our way to trip us up or like, no, our sinful nature does that. The enemy does that. But God is removing obstacles, right? God wants us to remove everything that the sin is so easily entangles us and the things that get around us and run this race with perseverance. He wants us to succeed. God wants you to succeed more than you do. He wants you to finish the race. And his grace is available to us to finish it. But you can't stay beaten down. You got to get up. Are you with me? Some of you are entering the last leg. Look, it could be me. Amen. Like, none of us know that for sure, right? We should all live as if we're entering the last leg. Amen. But some of you might be a little bit closer than others, right? That's okay. You're not done running. You're not done running. Do not give up. This last leg of your race matters just as much as the beginning. It's not time to throw in the towel. You're not finished yet. And God is not done with you. So get up, dust the dirt off your front of you, and run the race, because it's not over. I've kept the faith. This crown of righteousness is for all who love to see. This next point is that this crown of righteousness is for all who love to see the Lord's appearing. This is for all, this righteousness is for all those who love his appearing. Because the only reason you endure, the only reason you run, the only reason you fight is because you know that there is that there's coming a day where the one who died on the cross, was risen from the dead, who ascended into heaven, or sits at the right hand of God, is coming again. You know that day is coming, and he's bringing his reward with him. And Paul says this in Hebrews. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who believes in him must believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking the Lord? Listen, we live in a culture, our Christianity in America is becoming a joke. The rest of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world are looking at us going, man, you used to be the people who sent missionaries to us. You used to be people who taught us about who God is and his faithfulness and being perseverance and persevering in it. And there came a time where the church became so focused on itself that it lost sight of what God was wanting to do in and through us. And we got to take it back. It doesn't start with my generation, it starts with yours. Life is not about us. It's not about us. Life was never about us. Your life was never about you. Your life was never about you. Your life is about a God who loves you, who gave himself for you, whom you were created for, whom you were created to know and love and to have relationship with him and be brought into eternity and have life forever in unity with God. But America has sold you a bill of goods. America has said you can have it all. The American dream. Listen, I choose the kingdom reality over the American dream any day. Because I know the American dream is just that. It's a pipe dream. But we work our entire lives to spend the last years of our life sitting in a chair for 10 hours a day. Now look, if you're there and that's all you can do, pray. Pray. Your prayers matter. I need your prayers. We need your prayers. The world needs you to pray. Stop thinking, listen. We live in a culture that says science is king and it's all physical. That's a bunch of horse manure. Like, there is a God who is in heaven who hears you. I'm sorry. That was for you as much as it was for me. I don't pray enough. I spend 30 minutes a day in the morning in prayer, in earnest prayer, but I don't pray enough. Now, I pray throughout the day on top of that, but I don't pray enough. Your prayer does things. Share the story with you and then I'll stop yelling. I apologize. That has nothing to do with it. It's just, anyway, it's the Spirit, Holy Spirit. This is Florence Chadwick. Everyone say hi, Florence, and I'm shaking. So Florence Chadwick was an amazing swimmer. She swam the English Channel twice. She's the first woman to ever swim the English Channel both ways. So she swam there and back. She was going to swim the, Catalina Island to North California. It's 21 miles. I can't swim for 10 seconds. She was going to swim 21 miles. So now she'd already swam greater distances than that. Florence Chadwick had already swam greater distance than that. That morning, she got in to swim that Catalina from Catalina Island to California. It was windy. The water was choppy. It was fog. You couldn't see more than 10 feet in front of you. But she decides she's going to swim. So she gets in the water and she starts swimming. Well, swimming 21 miles takes a long time, especially when the waters are choppy. She's swimming. There are sharks around her, so they're shooting the sharks from the boats that are following her to swim, so she's protected. Isn't that crazy? People were built different back then. Anyway, you just don't do that. People are like, sharks, I'm good, you know? So she's swimming. After 2 hours, two or three hours of swimming, she says, Get me out of the water. She gives up 200 yards from the shore. A reporter comes to Florence and they said, why'd you give up? And she's like, I couldn't see the shoreline. The fog was too thick. She's like, if I had seen it, I would have made it. How many times do we allow the sin in our life, the trials in our life, the temptations in our life to fog our vision of our King at the finish line? And we throw in the towel. But Florence Chadwick in 1952 swam it again, and this time she made it. See, your failure is only final if you let it be. But we have a God who's gracious. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. And get back in the water because you have a race to win. Stop letting your sin, the trials and temptations, the things fog your vision, because Jesus is still there and he's still beckoning you on. The fog will lift, the water will calm down, and you'll see Jesus again. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Lord, we thank you that in the midst of our trials and our temptations and our struggles, God, you never give up on us. Lord, let us never give up on you. Lord, let us not give in to despair, but let us come to you in our spiritual distress. And Lord, may we not let the attachments of this world cloud out our ultimate goal, which is you. And Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you. For I ask it all to your glory, King Jesus, amen. I want to leave you this one verse before we sing this song, we pray. Paul said this, and I think you'll find it very encouraging. Paul said this in Philippians to the church in Philippi. He said this, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect. Paul's saying, I haven't gotten there yet. but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, or brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, this one thing, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's going, I don't look at the past. I don't look at what I did yesterday. I remind myself of who I am in Christ and who I am today. Because the past is the past. You can't change it. But I'm pressing on towards the goal.